This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. It's hard to overstate just how enormous the Fortnite Battle Royale craze has been. But amid all the media gawking, one detail has generated almost universal incredulity.
And now mastering the game may even get you a college scholarship.
What?
That's what they're telling me.
Ashland University in Ohio will offer scholarships to the best Fortnite players in the world. They're part of the National Association of Collegiate Esports and recruit gamers the way they recruit athletes. Did you know they had that?
Yes, video gaming aims to be seen as a pro sport like any other. The Major League Gaming Corporation, MLG, draws huge viewerships for the highest levels of Halo, Dota, and Super Smash Bros. Competition, and this year commenced the most extravagant esports undertaking so far, a 12-team pro circuit called the Overwatch League.
A global world-class esport league designed from the ground up to celebrate the best of the best on their path to victory.
They're playing for a lot of money, and they play in front of thousands of people. They get a $50,000 minimum base salary, healthcare, and retirement benefits as well. I find this incredible.
People just have different experiences of pop culture.
Cecilia D'Anastasio is a senior reporter for Gizmodo Media's Special Projects Desk and for its video gaming publication, Kotaku.
I don't watch traditional sports. I never have. I don't care about it. If someone talks to me about sports, I just close off my brain and I think about Overwatch.
Since the league's launch in January 2018, she's followed all 12 Overwatch teams from the U.S., China, Korea, and the U.K. She's taken special interest in her local team, the powerhouse New York Excelsior, which dominated the competition in the inaugural season. This is a rebroadcast, so the action in this piece all takes place last summer when the show first aired. Now, OTM didn't get onto the Overwatch League till late in the regular season and with the playoffs beckoning, so we turned to D'Anastasio to get up to speed. Newbies like us are a sort of occupational hazard for an esports journalist. You know, oblivious outsiders who just can't seem to get their heads around the idea of professional digital sports.
Whoever wins the playoffs at the Barclays Center wins.
Wait, what? The Barclays Center. The basketball arena in Brooklyn where the Nets play. That's where the playoffs are?
Correct.
And people are paying money to go in and watch people play video games.
Everyone I know.
And the winner gets what?
$1 million.
So a couple of months ahead of the grand finals, we set out to understand what would be taking place in the Barclays Center and across the world via smartphone, including an outpost 7,000 miles east of Brooklyn.
뉴욕 엑셀시어에서 이제 딜러를 맡고 있는 세벨이라고 하고요.
In Seoul, South Korea. This is 22-year-old Chung Yul Park, better known by his gamer tag, Sebiolbi, which is derived from a poem he once wrote about a night of shooting stars. 2 years ago, Sebiolbi, on medical leave from the military and dividing his time as a barista and as that guy on the couch playing video games, saw an ad that changed his life.
An elite international task force charged with ending the war and restoring liberty to all nations. Overwatch. Soldiers, scientists, adventurers, oddities. Guardians who secured global peace for a generation.
Now he threw himself into Overwatch, inhabiting the game character or hero known as Tracer, a speedy, bespectacled British woman firing pistols akimbo. Sabioldi's tracer was so lethal and so inventive, word quickly spread in the Overwatch universe.
The world could always use more heroes.
Actual professional offers started coming in, and with them, a dilemma. Because in Korea, as here, parents are trying to get their kids off of the console, not on it.
To convince your parents when you're a teenager that training the necessary 6 to 8 to 10 hours a day to become good enough at Overwatch to join the league is very difficult.
Furthermore, the professional lifespan is not a long one. It's an industry that has 20-year-old retirees with no college degree and, well, let's just say, limited life skills. And this is a sport for which revisions to a game, called patches, can be published in the middle of a season, requiring teams to master new tactics, new skills. And what happens when the dominance of a professional player's game is usurped by the next popular game, or the next? In a conversation through a translator, I asked Sabiolbi just that.
개인적으로는 나이가 들어서 은퇴...
He's confident that he can play longer, like he can play until like late 20s, maybe like 30s. But if Overwatch becomes obsolete, then he can probably go to other games, maybe be a coach, whatever popular game it is at that time. Or if that doesn't work out, he can always go back to being a barista.
He did sign with the Korean team Luxury Watch Blue. With such other star players as Jay Jonak and Pine, Luxury Watch Blue became a standout team in the league. And Sabiolbi, poetically enough, was its shooting star.
Sabiolbi was so loved and so respected because in addition to being the most dangerous tracer player, he just comes off as this really nice guy. He has this beautiful wife whose photograph he puts on his keyboard while he's playing, he said, so he can cherish her while he's winning all of these games.
Talent and charisma, which made him an obvious recruitment target when the Overwatch League was developing and American investors came a-scouting. But not just Sabiolbi. The Americans, as we often do, bought in bulk.
In New York, we want to win because that's what New Yorkers want to do.
Farzam Kamel is a partner at Sterling VC, the investment arm of the company that owns the New York Mets and which founded the Overwatch League's New York team.
So our strategy was we were going to look for an intact roster of players who've had continuity playing together with success and ideally coaches that come along with them who've had experience playing with them.
Esprit de corps. The few, the proud, the excelsior.
Exactly.
This was not a trivial investment. Apart from payroll and benefits, there's the cost of entry. The Overwatch League is owned lock, stock, and pixel by the game publisher Blizzard Activision, which charges very, very not pretend franchise fees. Cecilia D'Anastasio.
To buy into the Overwatch League costs $20 million for season one. And for season two, it's been reported by ESPN that the price for an Overwatch League team is going to be $30 to $60 million. And I'm saying this of Sterling VC. I think that the greatest New York virtue might be just having enough money to buy whatever the hell you want.
Including the best esports team ever assembled.
Correct.
Sure enough, the fans were just smitten from the Excelsior's first game in January against the Boston Uprising.
There was one moment that happened when this player, his name is Pine, was debuted on stage for the first time. He was playing this hero McCree, kind of this cowboy hero who has a revolver.
So aggro on this McCree.
And like a grown adult popping balloons at a kid's fair, he just exploded five heads with just beautiful poise.
My sentence before he kills someone else.
All just in the span of a few seconds, everybody was screaming.
This is unreal.
Everybody in Twitch chat was spamming all of these emotes, and that was the moment when people were like, this is the team to be reckoned with.
And so it went all season.
Beautiful play from Sabiolbi, millisecond kind of reactions.
And it's a wipeout. Boston Uprising, they're getting run over.
If you're Boston, you're wondering what deity you have wronged here, and I'll tell you the answer. Sabiolbi is the god you have wronged here.
Pine with three.
Pine with four.
Are you serious?
Beautiful.
This guy's a living highlight reel, man.
Actually, it was Sabiolbi's teammate, Pine, who emerged as the big hero of Game 1. And by the July playoffs, he was a superstar. He's 20. Pine, what is fame like?
It feels good to be famous and to be recognized, but because I became famous because of my skills, I feel an immense amount of pressure to perform well in games.
Pine, do you dream in Overwatch?
Actually, I dream about women recently.
Well, the feeling's mutual.
I'm literally dying. The players just walked in and we're all like, ah! They're all really good looking.
I'm so happy.
I was an arm's length of touching them.
Haley and Alice are college students and active gamers in the Rutgers University Esports Club. We met them at one of the team's local meetup events, which draw a diverse and passionate crowd.
They've proved they were number one. They're far ahead of even second place is far behind them. And we couldn't be prouder of our boys.
On the night of the big semifinal against the Philadelphia Fusion, 500 supporters packed the 4040 Club, a sports bar owned by Jay-Z, to Twitch watch the live stream. One was Richard Ng, screen name Great Root Bear.
And I'm the founder of the Five Deadly Venoms, the supporters club for NYXL, a team that set records for the whole year, brought this whole city together, and has a lot of people invested in it, so we'll see. You'll see something very special here tonight for our playoff game against Philly. I can tell you, if New York pulls off the win, this building will explode in a good way. If they go down, though, there will be a moment where you could hear a pin drop. Might be a couple tears, but that's the beauty of the game here.
Note the apprehensiveness. Because of a software revision, or patch, imposed late in the season by the game's publisher, Overwatch had actually changed. A new character had been introduced, diminishing the importance of Sabiolbi's hero, Tracer. It was something like baseball changing the height of the pitcher's mound in September.
Yes, they absolutely dominated the regular season. But coming into the playoffs, they've had an extra week off. We don't know what to expect from this team.
We have no idea how they're going to adapt to the new patch that rolled in. There's been some rumors that they've been slow to adapt to it.
And so, across the globe, Twitch viewers watch Sabiolbi and his teammates take a live stage, just 12 athletes at 12 computers, to face Philadelphia. Sabiolbi! And when the action began, as usual, the Excelsior were on their game.
Pine's got the blade out, though. Already two kills! Looking for the third as well, but Neptuno's beating his wings, trying to get away. Succeeds in surviving a little while longer, but now New York have set themselves up. The rest of the team is dying here for Philly, and everybody's gone. Just like that, New York, in the span of a couple of seconds, wipe out the defense.
But then...
That is a crushing and brutal attack round from the Philadelphia Fusion.
Yeah, that may have been the most one-sided round of Overwatch I've ever seen.
Whoa, that was unexpected. And for the Excelsior faithful, crushing. And for the young players, a painful lesson in the vagaries of elite competition. Suddenly, the Excelsior weren't shooting stars, but fallen ones. And so, like countless pro teams before them, they were left to relive their failure and seek redemption next year. After the big defeat, our producer Michael Loewinger, the mastermind of this episode, managed to track down Sabiolbi.
Why do you think New York Excelsior wasn't able to win?
Our team was, we got used to winning. Winning like kind of felt natural to us. That won't happen ever again. And we'll play every game like our best.
Natural humility, very Sabiolbi. But what about the patch? The changes to the game outline called the meta. Micah pressed Sabiolbi, but then something odd happened. The team's PR guy, who was overwatching the interview, intervened.
I know that some people have been saying that it was the new meta that threw...
We don't want to talk about that.
You don't want to talk about the meta?
No.
Okay.
Overwatch. It's digital, it's Twitched, a whole new culture. But it's run by and for the money men. So, yeah, like they say, a pro sport like any other. Season 2 of the Overwatch League is currently underway, streaming on Twitch.tv.
Coming up, Twitch IRL, paying streamers to play the game of real life.
This is On the Media.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.